Good afternoon, good morning, good day, depending on where you're listening from. Welcome to Profit and Beauty. Now, this show was created for salon owners who have decided to start running their salons like a business rather than a hustle. The focus of the show is to help salon owners understand the numbers behind their business so that they can grow and make extraordinary profits. Without this knowledge, it's really hard, if not impossible, for your salon to reach its true potential. My name is Desiree Anderson, and I have 19 years experience as a hairstylist and salon owner. I currently work as a certified public accountant, working mainly with salon owners and hairstylists. My background as a former stylist and salon owner gives me a much better understanding of what our industry professionals need and desire. So if you are a hairstylist or salon owner interested in running your salon like a business, then this show is for you. On the other hand, if you are a hairstylist or salon owner not interested in running your salon like a business, this show may or may not be for you. I just hope you keep listening and maybe something you hear in one of the episodes will make you decide to turn your craft from a hustle into a business that you can scale and grow. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Okay, let's try this again. Hi, everyone, and welcome to my live broadcast, Profit and Beauty. Now, as you all know, tax day is tomorrow. So I thought that I'll jump on and let my fellow hairstylists and salon owners know what they need to do if they aren't ready to file their taxes. And also, I wanted to give you guys a quick last minute rundown of some of the last minute tax deductions that you have available to you. Now, I know most of you know the things that you are able to deduct. However, I still get tons of questions from stylists asking me about, you know, what types of things can they deduct? Can they deduct A? Can they deduct B? Can they deduct C? So I figured I'll just come on and just throw some stuff out there. And also, I sometimes get an expense list from my stylists and some of my salon owners. And there are items on there and on my live podcast talk about some of the things that you can deduct as a last minute reminder. And also let you know what you need to do if you're not ready to file your taxes. Because God knows, I know personally, I've been busy all tax season and I'm totally not ready to start to file my taxes. So I know I have to file an extension. So if you're not ready to file your taxes, then you are going to have to, file an extension, okay? Now, an extension to file is not the same thing as an extension to pay, which means that if you are not ready to actually file, you would need to file an extension. However, you still have to pay what you owe. So what does this mean? This means that, and you're probably saying to yourself, okay, well, how do I know what I owe if I haven't yet prepared my taxes? Well, you can go ahead and look at what you had to pay last year. So whatever your tax debt was last year, you can go ahead and file your extension and mail in the exact same amount you had to pay last year. If you do that, then you will not be penalized for not filing a tax return, or rather for not filing your tax return on time. So you can go ahead and file your extension, send in whatever your tax debt was last year, and then that way you have 6 months until October 15th to actually get your paperwork together and file your tax return. Now, I know that a lot of times people will file an extension and then they will further procrastinate, which means that by the time October 15th gets here, they find themselves scrambling, trying to figure out, okay, what do I need to get together to file my taxes? So if you do file an extension, try to take the time to, within the next month or so, to get your information together so you can go ahead and file your taxes before October 15th. Okay, so now that that's taken care of, let's talk about some of the tax deductions that are available to hairstylists and also to salon owners. Number one, hair care products. So if any type of hair care products, hair care tools like shampoos, conditioners, styling products, tools and supplies are all tax deductible. Okay, they're tax deductible under every and any circumstance. The second thing is salon furniture, equipment, and also any type of space that you rent. So furniture would be chairs, stools, any type of waiting room items, all those magazines that you purchase if you're on subscription, they're all tax deductible. If you're purchasing any stools or any chairs, they're also all tax deductible. Now, technically speaking, normally when you purchase large items like salon furniture and equipment, usually those have to be capitalized, meaning that you can't necessarily deduct the entire amount when you purchase it. However, with some new laws and some new tax rules, you can actually deduct the entire cost of furniture. So there are like three, I'm not going to get too technical about it, but there are three different ways in which you can deduct the entire, let's say you purchase salon furniture, you purchase other equipment or waiting room furniture, you can actually deduct the entire amount on your tax return in the year that you actually purchase it. Okay. So make sure you mention that to your accountant. And more than likely, your accountant probably already knows that, but just FYI, because a few years ago, you were only allowed to deduct items that were usually $500 or less. If you purchased something that was more than $500, you had to capitalize it, meaning that you had to deduct it over a period of time, meaning over the life of the actual item. So for example, with salon furniture, I think it's like a 7-year life. So you'd have to, let's say you purchase the item for $2,000. You'll take $2,000, divide it by 7, and you get to deduct a portion every year for 7 years. But with some of the new laws, you can go ahead and probably deduct the whole $2,000 in the year that you actually purchase it, which is a wonderful thing. Also, any type of so many online subscriptions, so many people are selling so much stuff online, subscription-wise, you can deduct anything that you purchase that has to do with training or continuing education is tax deductible. Items and classes on a CD. I actually purchased something not too long ago, because sometimes with those CDs, it almost feels like you have something tangible in your hand, and therefore you feel as if, oh, well, this is never going away. When it comes to online subscriptions, in my mind, sometimes you never know, well, what if something happens? What if the internet blows up and all of a sudden I've lost my subscription? But anyway, so if you purchase anything, be it a subscription, be it a CD, if you go to trade shows, take certification classes, all of those items are deductible on your tax return. Another thing is that have, well, a lot of salons do have employees that they pay. So if you do have salon, if you do have stylists that you pay, then of course, you know that the salaries are deductible. Any type of benefit plan is deductible. And also, if you purchase uniforms for your employees, that's also tax deductible. Now, let me just say one thing, because I get lots of stylists say, well, that $500 in uniforms is usually black, because you know, most salons want you to wear black. Well, if you're purchasing black, you know, black items that you use for work and you call them uniforms, technically speaking, that's not tax deductible. Even though you, even if you only wear it to work, it's still not tax deductible. And here's the reason. The IRS says, if you purchase an item that you can wear in the streets, you can to dinner, then that particular outfit is not tax deductible, okay? So the only types of uniforms that are considered tax deductible is something that you cannot technically wear out in the street. For example, if you purchase a smock, you have some salons that have their stylists wear either, what do you call it? Like scrubs. They have them wear scrubs. So let's say if you're a facial, if you do facials, or if you're a lash technician or you're a makeup artist, you might wear scrubs. Now, those are deductible. And if the salon provides those for their employees, they can deduct it. And even if you are a independent stylist and you purchase scrubs, you can deduct those, okay? But if you're purchasing black, just because it's black and just because you wear it, you know, to work, doesn't mean it's tax deductible, unless you're purchasing black scrubs. That is tax deductible, okay? So any kind of advertising, for example, if you do Google ads, you do social media ads, which a lot of us do nowadays, if you flyers, business cards, website fees, all of those are tax deductible. And I do know that some of the things that I'm mentioning to you, you're probably saying, well, that's obvious. We know that's tax deductible. Yeah, it's obvious, but believe it or not, some people don't know, number one. And number two, some people just forget. Like they forget to add, to include certain items when they're providing their accountant with their income and their expenses. I have people forget to give me their Square and their bank fees. And that's something major because most of our transactions go through some sort of credit, either PayPal or Square or Stripe. And the fees can be quite large. And I have people constantly forget to provide me with bank fees. So if nothing else, just take this list as a way to just check yourself to make sure that you have gathered all of the information that you need to provide to your accountant for your deductions. Because at the end of the day, you want to try to pay as little tax as possible, okay? Another thing is capital expenditures. So what are capital expenses? Usually capital expenses are things like salon improvements. Let's say you have a salon and you renovate the salon, okay? Or startup costs. Let's say you started a business in 2018, or any type of office equipment or any type of salon equipment that is pretty large. Those are considered capital expenses. Now, the way that capital expenses differ from regular expenses is that with capital expenses, as I said earlier, you have to deduct that over a period of time. Now, when it comes to startup costs, let's assume you started your salon in 2018, okay? And you renovated the entire salon and you opened the doors on, let's say, July 1st. You opened your doors on July 1st. Okay, so what this means is that everything that you did prior to July 1st, so if you started working on your salon, let's say July of the previous month, let's say July of the previous year, so in 2017, you decided that you were going to start a salon business, and you start to prepare, you start to renovate the salon, or you start to do whatever you need to do to get the doors open. Everything that you do from that point, all of those expenses over a 15-year time frame. Now, you can deduct $5,000 of startup costs. Okay, you're allowed to deduct $5,000 is of a startup cost. You have to amortize over 15 years. So you have to take that number, divide it by 15, and then deduct it as you go along. And I say this because sometimes I may have a stylist who just started a business, and if she brings like a $30,000 bill and says, oh, well, can I deduct this because I have to spend all of this money to open up my salon? And the answer is no. And even sometimes, even if it's not opening up the salon, let's assume that he or she renovates, does some kind of salon improvement. That also, they may think that, oh, because I did a salon improvement, I can deduct the entire amount in that particular year. But that's not normally the case. Usually, you have to amortize it over a 15-year time period. Now, I think I mentioned clothes already. So clothes is another thing. You can deduct beauty tunics and uniforms. Once again, you cannot deduct the black that you wear, that you wear to work. Even when it comes to shoes, you can't deduct shoes unless you're purchasing, those shoes that nurses wear. So you can usually deduct those types of shoes. Another thing is any kind of service that you receive, for example, cleaning services. So if you have a cleaner coming to clean your salon, of course, you can deduct that. Scissor sharpening and any type of equipment maintenance. So if your dryer breaks down or if something happens to your furniture and you have to get it repaired, of course, all of those are tax deductible. I'm quite sure you know that, but you may have forgotten that you got some type of service done during the year. And normally the reason why people forget is because they don't have a tracking system. They are not tracking their expenses on a monthly basis. So then they forget. Now, if you're tracking your expenses on a monthly basis, then usually at the end of the month, you know that you had some type of service because they don't have a tracking system. A lot of times, they don't even remember half the things that they do. And not only that, not only do they not remember half the things that they do, even when they see it on their bank statement, okay, they'll see a certain dollar amount on their bank statement and they may not even know what it's for. remember what something is for. Like if you come to me and say, okay, can you do my taxes? And you give me, let's assume that we're looking at your bank statements because you haven't yet set up an accounting system. And I see something on there and you can't tell me for sure what that is, then automatically you can't deduct it. Because if you ever get audited, there's no way that I can say, oh, well, yeah, this is for so-and-so, because they're going to want to see some sort of receipt. Now, if you at least kept the receipts, then that's another story. You can go back and you can compare the receipts to what's on your bank statement. But normally what I find is with people who do not have an accounting system or a tracking system, they tend not to hold on to their receipts, or either they have them, but they're just not organized. And it's really hard for them to go back 12 months later and start digging out those receipts and trying to compare them to what's on their bank statement. So that's why it's really important to have a tracking system. I mean, I advocate this for my stylists and my salon owners. You must track your income and your expenses. And usually the reason why most small business, we track our income and our expenses, number one, is to make sure that we are ready at tax time. We want to be ready at tax time, but we don't want to get ready at tax time in April of the year that the tax is due. Because when that happens, you tend to just forget. You forget stuff, okay? There's just no way around it. You tend to forget things. So you want to make sure that every year you are constantly doing things that is preparing you for tax time. So when tax time rolls around, the only thing you have to do is to provide your accountant with your profit and loss statement, because you've done everything else during the year. And also because you've done everything else during the year, you have captured all of your income and your expenses. You've captured everything. That way you are getting all of your deductions. So, and another reason why small business owners want to make sure that they track their income and their expenses is the only way you can make an intelligent decision. Okay. The only way that you can make an intelligent decision when it comes to your business, a financial decision that can help your business grow, is if you can actually see the numbers. If you can't see the numbers, you can't make a decision. It's almost like you're just driving along blind with blindfolds on, and then eventually you might or you might not hit a wall. You just don't know. But you can't decide, should I go left or should I go right to avoid this wall I'm about to hit? You can't even make that decision because you have blindfolds on. Same thing with your business. If you don't know what your business is doing, okay, if you don't know what your business is doing financially, then you cannot make financial decisions to make your business grow. So that's why it's really important that as this small business owners, you want to track your income and your expenses. At the very least, you can use an Excel spreadsheet, which, you know, I would say that is good enough. It's better than nothing. And then for booth renters and for possibly salon suite owners, you can use QuickBooks Self-Employed. And as a matter of fact, QuickBooks Self-Employed is a wonderful tool for mobile stylists, especially also for booth renters. Okay. And I'm actually going to be doing a 6-week masterclass on QuickBooks Self-Employed, where I'm going to help you set up your QuickBooks Self-Employed from beginning to end. And at the end of the 6 weeks, you're going to have a fully functioning tracking software for your business. And I'll talk about that later on. I'll send out information about that later on. Okay. Now, of course, number 10, insurance. Okay. You want to make sure that you are deducting your insurance. So what's insurance? It could be liability insurance. It could be healthcare insurance if you're a salon owner with stylists and you contribute to their healthcare. But even if you are a booth renter, even if you are, just as long as you're a business owner, you can actually deduct your healthcare insurance. Now, there is a caveat to that. Number one, you can't deduct it on your tax return. Usually you'll deduct your healthcare insurance on your personal. You can't deduct it on your profit and loss statements on your Schedule C. You can, however, deduct it on your personal tax return on the first page. And believe you me, it saves you tons of money if you have been paying insurance. I know that I pay almost $700 a month in insurance. Okay. So when you multiply that by 12 and whatever the total is, it really does help reduce my taxable income. Now, the only caveat to that is if you are married, okay, and your spouse has a job, let's say your spouse has a W-2 job, and your spouse's employer offers you and the, if you have children, offers his spouse and their kids insurance, but you decide that you don't want to use your spouse's insurance. You would rather just have your own insurance. Well, under those circumstances, you are not allowed to deduct your taxes because, or rather, you're not allowed to deduct the insurance because you turned down your spouse's employer's offer to provide you with health insurance. So under those circumstances, you cannot deduct them. But if you are single, or if you are married and your husband or your wife's place of business does not offer their family. So second, number 11 is meals. So meals can consist of catering services. It can consist of business meetings. It can consist of you taking your clients out. It could consist of you purchasing meals for your stylists. And then even you as a stylist. Okay, let me say something. Let's say you are a booth renter, or you go out to get something to eat during work. You can't deduct that as a meal. Okay, if you're feeding yourself, you can't deduct that as a meal. On the other hand, if you travel, like I live in Atlanta, let's say I traveled to Florida for a show, okay, I can then deduct my meals because I have traveled away from home. Therefore, I'm allowed to deduct my meals based upon that. But if I am home, or let's assume I just go somewhere that's, let's say I go, like yesterday I had to go to Augusta for something. Well, I can't necessarily deduct my meals because Augusta is just 2 hours away, and I go there and I come back. You have to literally be traveling away from home, okay, and staying away from home. And then and under those circumstances, you can then deduct your meals. And then we have our home office deduction. If you are an independent contractor, if you are a mobile stylist, you can deduct a portion of your home as an expense. Now, the other day I had a stylist contact me. She wanted to know if she could deduct a portion of her home, but because she works, or rather she had a studio, she owns a salon suite, or rather she's renting a salon studio. So I let her know that, no, you cannot rent a portion of your home if you are a salon, if you own a salon studio, or if you are renting a salon studio. And she couldn't quite understand why, because she assumed that she looked at herself as an independent contractor. But I explained to her that, no, if you rent a salon suite, you're not really considered an independent contractor. You are basically a business owner, and that is your place of business. Your salon suite is your place of business. So under those circumstances, you can't deduct a home office deduction. You cannot take the excess, or you're an independent contractor, and you don't have a place to sit down and do your paperwork. Then under those circumstances, then yes, you can deduct a part of your home as an expense. Now, even though you can deduct a part of your home, there are certain rules that go behind that. So the area that you use for business has to exclusively be used for business, which means that your dining room table cannot double as your office, okay? Or your living room couch cannot double as your office, which means that you have to carve out an area in your home, whether it be you're carving out an area, let's say in your kitchen area, but it's a certain area that you use only for business, then you can take the deduction. So the area that you use has to be used exclusively for business, okay? It cannot double as something else. And then finally, we have bank fees. And I think I mentioned that earlier. Square, if you use Square, if you use PayPal, if you use Stripe, if you use any form of third party to help facilitate payments, of course, those fees are deductible. Now, I know this one is obvious, but as obvious as it is, either some people are not aware, or they just tend to forget to put it on their list of expenses. So, and even if you get, let's say somebody bounces a check, and you have to pay a check, you know, check bouncing fee, or if you you have overdraft fees, all of those types of bank fees are tax deductible. Now, when it comes to the bank fees for overdraft, you have to make sure that you have a bank account that you use strictly for business, okay? Because if you're commingling funds and then there's some sort of overdraft, well, you don't know. It's almost like, how do you determine whether or not the overdraft was based on a personal transaction or if it was based upon a business transaction? You don't really know because you're commingling. You only have one account. So then under those circumstances, it's a little bit difficult to make the determination or for you to even take that, you know, take that deduction, because there is no clear line, okay? And especially for those of you that are LLCs, because most people become an LLC under the impression that they're able to protect their personal assets if something should happen. Well, this is true. This is 100% true. You are able to protect your assets as an LLC, even though there are other things that you probably need to discuss with an attorney, because an attorney is going to let you know how that actually works. But if you are, there's something that's called piercing the corporate veil, meaning that if you are an LLC and you have a bank account, okay, and you commingle funds with personal and with business, then you have pierced the corporate veil, meaning that the protection that the LLC ordinarily would have given you is now null and void. It no longer exists because you went against one of the rules of being an LLC, one of the rules of being able to protect your personal assets, which is not commingling funds, which is having a separate account for your business. You went against that rule, which means that your personal assets are no longer protected. Okay, so I think that's all I have for you. Once again, I talked about, for those of you that joined me late, I initially talked about filing an extension to make sure that if you are not, the penalties are extremely high, okay? Did a podcast about that 2 weeks ago. So if you want to listen to the podcast where I explain to you the types of fees or the types of penalties that are involved when you do not file an extension, then you can go to profitandbeauty.com. And I think it's my last podcast. And you listen to that and it's going to tell you the consequences of not filing an extension. The IRS is way more hard on people who don't file an extension than they are on people who just don't pay what they owe. So a lot of times people are afraid of not filing their return because they think, oh, I'm going to owe money, so I don't want to file it because the IRS is going to notice that I owe money. It doesn't matter if you owe. They rather you just file and owe. They're a lot more lenient on you if you just owe money. The penalties for just owing money is way, way less than the penalties for not filing, okay? So in order for your extension to be valid, you have to file the tax return before midnight on April 15th, which is tomorrow. Now, don't worry if you owe money. Just file the extension, okay? Now, an extension to file, as I said earlier, I'm just repeating myself for the people that just joined, an extension to file does not give you, it's not the same thing, or rather, it's not an extension to pay. So you are filing an extension to file, a delay in an extension to file, not a delay in time to pay. So you still have to make the payment. If you don't know how much you owe, then what you need to do is look at your 2017 tax return, look at your liability for 2017, and just mail in a check for the exact same amount that was due in 2017. You send that with your extension. And if you do that, then you don't have to worry about the penalties of either underpaying your taxes or not paying your taxes at all. Because the IRS will accept 100% of the prior year in order for you to not be penalized for not paying your estimated taxes or not paying your taxes. Okay, so that's all I have for you for right now. And hopefully you're not stressing out over tax season. I know it can be stressful, but if you're stressing out, just remember this year, 2019, make sure you put something in place where you don't have to worry about stressing out 2020 April. Okay. So get you a tracking system. Like I said, QuickBooks Online, QuickBooks Self-Employed, the QuickBooks Desktop, a spreadsheet, whatever you need to get to track your income and expenses. So that way this time next year, there is no stress. You are just handing your accounts into your profit and loss statements and going about your business. Once again, thanks a lot, you guys, for taking the time to listen to the podcast. And I will speak with you next time. Have a great day, everyone.